and welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm Margaret Gray. You.
Oh, this is General Kalen Shaw, and,
I'm Bud Dickman. Here's Phil Henry.
How are you doing, man?
What was I doing? What do you mean, what was I doing? I was relaxing, enjoying the intro to the program. I didn't know that I was a part of it.
You're on the show.
Yeah, you're on the show.
Yeah, I know I'm on the show, but you wouldn't understand.
Well, that much is evident.
Oh, I see. So I'm nuts, huh?
Everybody, welcome to the show here, Phil Henry Show.
Phil, chilling it out. Good thing you chilled out, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I'm here to chill it out. Welcome to the program here this Monday, and it is the Phil Henry Show. And we're getting set to have on the program here, I believe we're going to have Steve Bozell on the show. They went out and they had dinner at the... at that new restaurant there at the Pasadena train station.
Well, that's it's not the Pasadena train station anymore.
Well, it's renovated. They've got a beautiful, beautiful set of restaurants and shops there now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Steve was there with his crew, and a very interesting development developed. We also have Robert Green joining us on the show today. He's got Ram season tickets. Fraser Foods has Ram season tickets. And the Rams season tickets he has now are at the Coliseum in L.A. Well, the last time he had Rams season tickets, they were at the Anaheim Stadium, and things have changed quite obviously.
Well, yes, things have changed. The team is now playing in Los Angeles as opposed to Anaheim.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah, but I there's a lot of people.
Well,
okay, guys, how many times I got to tell you?
Look, Phil, some of this stuff is pretty obvious, you know. When you go ba-da-da-blah-la-la-la-la, someone's got to point that out.
Phil, I've got to go with him on that.
All right, excuse me. I'm sorry. Maybe I got going too fast. What I meant to say is what I'm about to say, so I'm going to say the same thing that I meant. I didn't screw anything up.
You went ba-da-da-blah-la-blah. You don't think that's a screw-up?
All right, I went. Excuse me for saying ba-da-da-blah-blah, whatever the hell it was I said. But the point is that there was a time when the Rams were in Anaheim, now they're in L.A., and the people that had season tickets that lived in Anaheim, now that they don't tell me that I went blah-blah because I just heard that.
Now you think the whole thing's funny. You think the whole thing is a big joke, huh?
No, I don't think it's all a big joke. I think you guys pointed out all the time is. Anyway, I see people looking at me out of the corner of their eyes.
We're making notations on when verbally you go through a glottal glitch or what we call a lip hiccup, you know?
Yeah, or the tongue hiccup.
A lip hiccup.
Yes, or the tongue hiccup.
So, the Rams...
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You know, the people in Anaheim got to travel to L.A. What about the people in L.A. that had to go to Anaheim? Yeah. What about that? And you were one of them.
All right, you're right. Yeah, there was that. So... and, of course, at the time that I was traveling to Anaheim to see the Rams in the 80s, I didn't have I didn't have the platform that I have today. I didn't have the audience or the reach or the whatever the hell. Otherwise, I would have been on the air bellyaching, screaming, and crying about that, and probably would have gotten thrown out of the stadium. The Rams would have moved sooner, so.
That might have been a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We're going to get right to... what it is we're going to do. I know that we have Steve Bozell.
Bozell's right now in Corona, but he's standing by. But he said he could, anytime you want to do it.
Well, we have Steve, and then we have Robert Green, and I don't want to get anybody, I don't want to keep anybody waiting. But essentially what happened was a dinner held by Stephen Bozell for his crew there in Pasadena. Steve, you guys are located in Corona. You're in the Inland Empire, but you're in Pasadena for this dinner?
Well, it's a dinner that was being held by Cliff Pettigrew. Actually, it was not under the auspices of my company, Phil, but Cliff is one of my crew chiefs.
Oh, I see. Okay. So this was a private thing?
Well, it was, yeah, they're all private because my company's private.
Well, what was this, a company affair?
There were members of, there were people from a company.
All right, but it had nothing to do with the company.
Well, yes, it did have something to do with the company because the people that were there were people that... worked for my company.
What we're trying to find out, Steve, I think, is was this dinner that you were having an official B&B construction event?
No, it was not.
All right, so, okay. All right, so this was what then?
This was a birthday party for Cliff Pettigrew, who is one of my chiefs. You know, he's one of the guys that runs the crew for me. And his wife, Eleanor, was the one who sponsored us, invited everybody out to this L'Orange restaurant there in Pasadena at the old train station. And I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, Mr. Henry.
I'm familiar with the old train station. Yeah, it's on Raymond.
Yeah, on Raymond, down near the, as you're getting ready to just, you know, leave Pasadena and get on the freeway and go on down, you'd go on down to L.A. What happened was something that really shook my faith in my ability to lead this company, and it might be something that resonates with a lot of the other people that are listening to your program. It might be the situation, same situation.
All right, and I'm glad you bring this up, because I had no idea. I don't know if anybody else did.
No, I didn't. I thought this was, you were just going to talk about this birthday celebration.
Yeah, I had no idea this had to do with something bigger or heavier or...
Well, you know, I wouldn't say it's heavy, only insofar as, you know, like I said, I rethink my ability to lead my company and certain people that, you know, that are members, you know, that are members of it, or not members of it, because it's not a club, but I mean...
Employees.
Yeah, exactly, my employees.
All right, well, tell us what happened.
Well, Cliff is having his birthday celebration, and his wife, as I said, Eleanor, was going to be... helping put this thing together, and we meet down there.
Now, were the wives there?
Eleanor was there. I know that Jamie Bakley and his wife, but the rest of us, our wives weren't there.
Now, why was that?
I never thought to. No one told us to bring our wives. You know.
Wait, this is a birthday party. It was a dinner.
It was a dinner. Yeah.
How many guys did not bring their wives?
Well, I know that Jamie Bakley brought his wife. Cliff Pettigrew's wife was there. Stan Turgeon, Jared. They were all. I guess I was the only one. And
you're the one that you didn't bring your wife.
I'm the only one that didn't bring my wife. Yeah, but that's not that important in the overall. I don't know why you would ask that question.
The reason why I'm asking, you mentioned that Eleanor was the sponsor. Generally, a woman is not going to sponsor or put together a party by herself. A lot of times she'll have other women, other wives helping with that.
All right, well, I didn't know, but they said it's a birthday party, and it was going to be down at the Pasadena train station, and I just didn't think to invite my wife.
Well, now, isn't that something that you would... think to do, or...
I don't want to get sidetracked.
Bozell, nobody wants to sidetrack, but you didn't invite your wife to this birthday party. It's, I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, let's forget about it.
Well, now we can't forget about it, because you brought it up.
Well, who's he? I mean, I don't remember I brought that up.
Not you, Robert, but whoever it was, the he was...
All right, let's say it was me.
I think it was a different one. I think it was the... might have been Dickman.
I'd bring it up.
Let's just say it was me, okay, so we can cut through this.
I might have mentioned something as well.
All right, well, it's not that interesting, but it is. Why wasn't your wife there?
Because I didn't bring her, because I heard that it was going to be a bachelor thing, and there was going to be...
You didn't bring her, why?
I heard that it was going to be a stag affair. And not to bring the wives because there might be a dancer.
Well, was that articulated in the invitation?
Someone told me, don't bring your wife because there's probably going to be this girl named Sherelle who would pick...
Okay, since we have mixed company...
I would rather not say.
Well, I insist that he say something now.
Wait a minute, Margaret. This is probably going to be very delicate.
Ms. Gray, I'd rather not say.
Yeah, it's probably extremely delicate.
I insist that he say. Now I want to know what it is he's hiding from his wife.
I'm not hiding anything from my wife. I came home and I told her. Okay, so you don't have to make a big deal out of it.
Hey, don't start crying about it.
Well, you...
Look, nobody wants to make you cry, Steve. I wonder if we came on this program here tonight and had you on the program tonight... With one thing in mind, that there was some kind of a crisis in confidence with you as the leader of this company. But I'm finding out now, and this was a birthday party or something. Yeah, it was a birthday party for Cliff Pettigrew. But I'm finding out now that all the wives were there except yours, and your wife wasn't there because you didn't invite her because you thought there was going to be, it was, quote, a stag affair.
Well, what does that mean, a stag affair? A stag means that there are only men there.
Well, yeah.
Margaret, it also means that it's going to be a stag... You know, a stag party with a lot of guys, if you go to a stag party with a woman, you're really going with another guy who's dressed as a woman.
Yeah, that's generally, and it's got nothing to do with being gay.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
Now, you don't know about stag parties, Mr. Henry.
Yes, stag parties are guys only.
That's what I thought.
No, the stag parties, yes, they are guys only, and it's not a gay affair, but generally the women that are there are guys dressed as women.
Yeah, and I wasn't dressed as a woman, but when I showed up, I was expecting to see women that were actually guys, and I saw women, and I thought they were guys, and I went up to Eleanor, which was Cliff Pettigrew's wife, and I said, who are you? Are you Jake? I thought it was Jake Rendell, and it went bad.
Okay, so in other words, this whole night was a disaster for you.
It was a disaster only from the standpoint of me making a joke, trying to loosen the atmosphere up, trying to loosen everyone up, trying to get everybody loose, and loose as a goose, you know, and just everything relaxed, every muscle. Because I started out, at a disadvantage.
Well, the disadvantage you start out is you showed up with, your wife wasn't there, you were thinking you had a stag party, and then you mistook the women that were there as men.
Only Cliff's wife, Eleanor. And Eleanor's a wonderful gal, and I like her a lot, but she has a bit of a cleft chin, and...
Are you trying to say she looks like a dude?
I would not go that far, but in the dark... In the dark and in the night. I don't know if you ever saw the film The Haunting, Mr. Henry. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember the maid that answered the door in the dark, in the night?
Yes, she's talking about why no one goes to the house after the sun goes down.
Yeah. Well, in the dark and in the night.
In the dark and in the night, Cliff Pettigrew's wife looks like a man. Oh, man.
You know, I'm telling you.
Well, you think that's funny?
I don't know whether it's funny or whether I want to weep.
It's a little insulting.
Okay.
Look, we're getting sidetracked here, though. The point is that we were going to have Steve on to talk about this joke that you made, right?
Yeah, I made a joke.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is very important, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying, as the responsible voice here producing a show, that you ought to dig further into him saying that that Cliff Pettigrew's wife in the dark and in the night.
No, not in the dark and in the night.
That makes it sound like you want to tag her in the dark and the night.
Would you please clean this up? That's awfully crude.
Guys, what are you talking about within the dark and in the night?
I'm saying that in the dark and in the night, Cliff Pettigrew's wife looks like a man. There, I said it.
Yeah. All right, now that that's out of the way, and you thought it was she was a man because this was a stag party.
I did not let the record show I didn't say it was a man. I said she.
I understand. You thought it was a stag party, so that made sense. Now you find out that the wives are there.
Yes, sir.
And the way it was told to me, hold on, bud.
Well, no, but wait. Now he wants to loosen it up because he knows he's messed up.
That's true, yes, sir.
All right, so now you want to tell a joke to loosen the atmosphere up because...
The atmosphere or... The only reason why I see... I'm not trying to make a big thing.
Jesus Christ, would you guys get on the stick?
I'm not trying to make a big thing, but Mr. Henry said atmosphere, okay, which is kind of like fur blank blank. See, the crude filth, I guess you'd like crude oil, is flowing.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to get up and leave, Phil, because I know you don't want me to do that. I'm going to sit back and let this one just wash over me like a warm tide of filth and effluvia from someone's filthy...
Margaret.
No, I can't be involved in this.
All right, well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray.
All right, let me lead the questioning here. So now you are there, and now you know that these women are actually women, and they're not men. It's not a stag party. It's meant for both genders. The men are there with their wives. You have shown up without your wife. This makes you nervous.
Exactly.
Hold on. Sorry, Steve. It makes you nervous.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hold on. So now you feel like you need to loosen the atmosphere up?
Yeah, because people were noticeably tight. They were not loosed. Their muscles weren't loosened up. You know,
what do you mean their muscles weren't loosened up? I don't understand that.
They come on, everybody, just, yeah, just let it hang out. And even if you you can generally tell if people are loose and having fun and don't care if somebody, let's for instance, breaks wind, someone, cuts a cheese and you hear it all. I know, Ms. Gray, I'm not trying to be crude or anything.
That is not going to happen in mixed company, I can assure you.
Well, but I wanted everybody to loosen up. I'm not sure. You know what that means.
You think that men are going to loose up and they fall around each other?
Right.
I think that's a possibility.
All right, now that we've got that... Steve, every time you're on the program, I'm introduced to... I'm introduced anew to the kooky, cuckoo...
kook ball.
Yeah, the kook ball world you live in. And friend...
General, I don't believe that I'm, you know, dragging your reputation through the mud.
I'm dragging your reputation through the mud? Only to the extent that I'm telling people you live in cuckoo land. Is that bad?
God, did you hear yourself? You just went cuckoo land. Shit, that's almost like Linda Beans, or what's her name? Linda Claire?
Linda Blair?
Yeah.
What about her?
You never heard of Linda Blair?
Yeah, in The Exorcist. Is that what you're trying to go for?
Yes, sir. Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to say...
Now, what you're trying to say here, Steve, let me do... You're trying to say that you told a joke to try to loosen things up. We don't have to talk about whether people were breaking wind.
Exactly. So you tried to loosen things up with what joke?
All right, you want to get to the joke part?
Yes, we'd like to... I'd like to get to any part of this that is beginning to resonate with what I promoted to my audience.
Well, I don't know what you promoted to your audience.
Just get to the story of the joke.
All right. Now I realize I'm there, and I'm with men, and I'm with women, and they're all, it's a couple's party, and I'm by myself. I'm the only guy there, and I had come with some gifts, which were definitely stag party gifts. They were definitely meant for adult man, and I'd rather not say what the gifts were.
You don't have to.
Oh, dude, come on, Mr. Henry. I think it's a very important, so people know the morality of it.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
All right. I don't mind saying. I mean, I do, but you want to kick me while I'm down.
Look at Bozell, don't say anything.
Oh, no, I'll say it. One of them was a big pink vibrator, you know.
Well, why would you bring that to a man's party?
Because he is going to take it home. He's not going to use it there. Oh, yeah.
Well,
is that what you guys think?
Steve, I got no sympathy.
You know what, Bill?
Is that what you people think, yes or no?
No, Steve, I don't, but you're the one that's making an issue out of this, and it's beginning to make me think that maybe that is the case.
Yeah, y'all talking about, just a large pink dildo.
I didn't laugh, Dickman, all right?
Okay, so you brought that, and we don't want to talk about that anymore. What's with the joke?
The joke was the following. When they said that the restaurant used to be at the Pasadena train station, and Pettigrew said to everyone that when he was a boy growing up in California, the Pasadena train station... And he was a member of a Cub Scout troop, and his mother was a den mother. He's telling this story while we're having his dinner.
Yeah.
And he said his mother one time, as the den mother for this group of Cub Scouts, she organized a field trip for the boys to go and visit the Pasadena train station.
Okay.
Well, you could probably imagine that was a good opening for me to sort of regain the respect of everyone, and I said, are you kidding me? Your mommy took you here, and I kind of laughed, you know. And I was stunned when no one did laugh, and they stared back at me, waiting for me to finish the story. And that's when I said, I'm sorry, you know, that's all I meant to say. And that's when I got up, and I sort of half ran. I began just a slow trot, and then I ran full speed to my truck.
And what'd you do in your truck?
What does that mean?
Well, you generally, whenever you run full speed...
Yeah, you always go back to your truck and you bury your face in your hands.
You guys really love to... You keep real tabs on things, don't you?
Steve, this has been something... it's been a part of every story that you've ever told, that when you've humiliated yourself and when you've overstepped your bounds...
I don't know how I overstepped my bounds.
But let me just tell you, whether you overstepped your bounds or not, it's a joke. If you said to him, ha ha, wow, you were here when you were a Cub Scout... isn't that funny? That can be funny as in, isn't that cute? Isn't that curious? Or it can be funny as in mocking him for having his mommy be a Cub Scout troop leader.
Yeah, well, that's how I meant it.
Well, you blew it that way.
Yeah, that's nothing an adult will do.
Okay, you know, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. I did not anticipate coming on this program, Mr. Henry, and having you and your co-panel staff or the panelists tell me that I'm out of bounds, that I'm way out of bounds, because I brought up the fact that Pettigrew's mother took him there to the Cub Scout Jamboree. Now I forget what I was saying. I'm very confused.
Man, you're trying to make fun of Mr. Pettigrew for way back when he's a Cub Scout and his mom took the Cubs there.
Yeah, not the Cub.
The Cub Scouts went there on a field trip.
Yes, sir.
What were you hoping to say? You were just...
Pettigrew has made me the object of a lot of jokes, and a great many times I've had my pants pulled down. I've had I've been, you know, my sexuality questioned, and this guy works for me. So I get off one small little line about how his mom, they had a Cub meeting over there at the train station, and no one laughs or no one even gives me the benefit of saying, you know, that's a good try.
And so when no one laughed...
Everyone's staring at me, waiting, almost like they're waiting for, okay, is that it? And I looked, and I remember I could feel perspiration coming down everywhere, and I got up, and I just did a quick skip and then into a trot. And then finally, when I hit the door of the restaurant, I went into a full 100-meter dash sprint to my truck. I got into my truck. I locked it. I just buried my face in my hands and wept.
All right.
And, you know, and if you guys want to...
Look, I don't know what you want us to say about that.
It was an interesting story, an interesting anecdote.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, though, and I said you should come on the program to tell us this story, I thought there was more to it than just you burying your face in the hand.
I buried my face in my hands, not one hand, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry, I mean in your hands.
What did you think there was to it, bud?
I thought the police showed up or something, or there was... they reprimanded him for saying the guy's wife looked like a dude.
Well, you thought. You should have asked me. I came on the program tonight to tell my side of the story in the hopes that...
in the hopes there'd be some sympathy.
Yes, sir.
I don't think that there is, and here's why.
Oh, man. God.
Take it easy, will you, bozo?
Oh, God.
Steve, here's why. You know, it's one thing to mistake the party for a stag party and you find out the wives are invited. Hey, I guess that happens. Now you're showing up with a pink dildo.
It was a dildo vibrator, yeah.
Please don't tell me that you...
You're gonna... Did I open it there? Yes, I did.
Why in the hell would you do something? You've got women present.
To show them. I thought this was a stag party. And they're all, oh, you just left your wife because you just wanted to leave your wife. They thought I left my wife at home because I didn't care about her. I said, no, I thought it was a stag party. And so I to prove it, then I said, now look, and I said, this will show each and every one of you. I said, please, you know, gather around or wherever they were. And I went ahead and I put it on the table. I said, look, this will prove what I'm saying. And I pulled the donic out. And it was...
What is a donic?
It's what I call, it's code for...
Code for dildo.
Wasn't going to use the word.
All right. You know, one of the things that I like about you, Steve...
But do you understand me, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, you pulled out the quote-unquote donic so people could see that you weren't kidding.
Yes, sir. And they could see I was sincere.
All right. One of the things that I've always found interesting about you, Steve, and I mean this and with no insult intended, but you tend to take a situation and make it much worse.
Right there, I agree.
You know, you make it much worse.
How did I make that worse?
First of all, by pulling the dildo out of this box, what was it in?
It was in a bag. It was in a Bilbonic bag, which is the place I bought it at. It's on Sunset and Melrose.
There is no Sunset and Melrose.
Well, it's on either Sunset or Melrose.
You drove all the way down to Sunset or Melrose to Bilbonic's.
Yeah.
And bought a dildo.
Yeah, and they put it in a special bag.
All right.
Steve, Phil was going to say, and I'll conclude, you make a simple situation much, much worse by showing everyone this gift that you brought, by weeping. Bud tells me that there was a man, a William Dorchester.
Yeah, there was a Mr. William Dorchester who did have a cell phone on, and he did record what he heard. He walked by, he saw a large Silverado truck, extended cab.
Yeah.
And he did turn on his tape recording, and this is what he recorded.
All right, this is from the other night.
Mr. Henry.
Well, I mean, this gentleman sent this in. Go ahead. Mr. Dorchester says that was you, sir.
Boy, what up? What an asshole.
Well, was that you?
You know something?
If it wasn't you, Steve, just say it.
I'm not going to lie.
So that was you. So you were very, very visibly or audibly upset.
I was upset, but for that guy to tape, what would cause some guy to be so wrecked from the neck up that he would...
All right, Steve, what ultimately caused this crisis in leadership?
Well, if I've got people staring back at me, like I'm the lamest thing that ever crawled out from, you know, between my, you know, a mother's legs, okay?
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, that's what they were looking at me for. If that's the case, then what's the point of me heading up this company? And I've been thinking for a long time that my nephew, who had just come in from Knoxville 2 years ago and has been chomping at the bit for an opportunity to manage his situation because he's got his degree in business administration at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, go ahead and turn the reins of the control over to him.
Because nobody laughed at your joke.
What?
Well, that's it. You know, no one laughed at your joke. So you think that you got to turn this over to your nephew.
You think it's that simple.
That's exactly what it sounds like. You got upset because they didn't laugh at your joke about Pettigrew. You pull out the dildo.
I pulled out the Donick. I'm trying to be, you know, polite.
What do you mean polite? The Donick. Okay, yeah. The Donick.
All right. Well, do you agree with the usage of it or not?
No, I think it sounds like a balled up, clowned out. You sound clowned out, my friend.
Yeah, but not only that, but then you cry and the man tape recorded it.
I can't keep a guy from tape recording things, you know?
Steve, I got to admire you, though, man.
Well, thank you, mister. I know that of everybody I've ever talked to, Mr. Henry, at least you have some respect for me.
Well, I got to respect the guy that just keeps putting his face right into the airplane propeller and comes back for more.
What?
Now, you know what? Phil's got a point.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, you keep tripping up into these situations that make you look like an ass, and you just keep coming right back for more. Anybody would learn. Anybody would learn from these situations, but you don't. And I would hope that in the future, the next time you're invited to a party, you find out what the nature of the party is. You make sure that the gift that you're bringing is something that is tasteful enough to show everybody at the party. And I don't know, if you're going to start crying, don't go trotting out of the restaurant and then break into a full-speed sprint to your truck where you wail like a grandmother and a guy's walking by with a tape recording.
Okay, but you know what? Forget it.
All right, Stephen Bozell. Steve, thanks so much.
Yeah, all right. You know, I just want to...
Steve Bozell on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, the thing with Bozell, maybe you have more respect for the guy than I do, but you, I will say that he walks right smack dab into the airplane...
Into the airplane.
He walks into the airplane.
Yeah.
Into the airplane propeller.
Yes. Every time, that guy. God. God.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. You can tell it, I'm an addict,
I'm addicted to money. General Galen Shaw for the Backstage Pass at the world famous Phil Henry Show website. You know, the Backstage Pass provides you with an entree to 20,000 plus hours of classic radio material. In fact, not just regular radio shows, but the Phil Henry Show. The classic Phil Henry Show, the genius work that is known far and wide. Yes, the archive stretching back over 20 years, and you'll get every one of those shows in as pristine an audio condition as is possible. And then there's hundreds of the podcasts. There's video casts. There's videotape. There's video...
blogs.
Video blogs. There's also, of course, the TV pilots that Phil has done, as well as many television and radio interviews down through the years. Plus, home movies, not only from the Henry family, but Phil flouncing about with his girlfriend hither and thither. The Phil Henry Show website's Backstage Pass. And when you're a Backstage Pass member, you can join us in our Friday night chats, where you can give endless amounts of crap to Phil and not feel guilty about it as he slinks off into the night wishing he was never born.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass, available now at philhenryshow.com.
Yeah. Tuesday she wanna go up, but Wednesday I panic, I'm scrambling Thursday. Don't forget we have a YouTube channel as well. It is youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. On our YouTube channel, you'll see hundreds of clips, video clips of our show, and me performing bits on the show. That is youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. You'll also check out a lot of those clips will be posted over at our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. And then on social media, we're at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, twitter.com/PhilHenryShow.
And yes, twitter.com/MargaretGray. General?
Yeah, twitter.com/GeneralGalenShaw. And by the way, over these last few weeks, I have had to take over the Phil Henry Show Twitter feed.
All right, I mean...
No. I've told Phil that he's clowning it up, and he's browning out, and something's got to be done.
All right, I have willingly given up the feed to you a couple of times because you people, you know, seem to think...
But what about you people, Mr. Henry?
Not saying you people, black people.
I know that. What do you mean?
I mean you guys. You clowns. My staff.
You know, oh, you clowns, is it? Good God almighty. You've got the pair on you of a lifetime. You really do. You're on that Twitter feed, Phil. Trump this and Trump that.
Yeah, Phil, you are really... You're turning off loads and loads of customers that way.
You know, I've heard it said... And,
now wait a minute, you're not going to tell me what Joe Olander told you, huh? That's two generations of clown. Yeah, but we've just, this is a clown festival.
Today's a clown festival.
Hey, Joe Olander told me, because he is very, very familiar with social media, marketing, and branding, that, you know, being who you are, being exactly who you are, laying it right out there, man, is what people want.
Oh, yeah, this is from the man of a million voices. Making up the fake voices, creating the fake personas. Oh, God.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys something. You seen those Geico commercials?
What Geico commercials?
What Geico commercials? The Geico, the commercials say Geico on them.
Yeah, what about it?
You know that Flo? You've seen her, right?
Yeah. I happen to like Flo. In fact, I like her a lot, so watch out.
What, doesn't she play a lot of different characters?
What?
Doesn't she play...
The actress that plays Flo. Flo doesn't.
Yeah, don't you know the difference?
I'm gonna beat...
Come on.
Phil, come on.
Yeah, hey!
Get over there and sit down.
You're the guy who tried to go for the throat.
No, I didn't, but I should have. Flo plays a... Whoever the actress is plays a lot of different characters. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, okay? But she knows. She knows the lay of the land. She knows where all the bodies are buried. And she knows that as long as she's doing that, she's going to have to contain her clownism or the nature, the buffoonery...
Fuck. What's wrong, General?
I'm frustrated by all of this lingo drives me ape.
Oh, she's got to contain it within the buffoonery and can't be who she is.
Exactly. You don't even know who the actress is, do you?
I'm just telling you, you know.
You don't know who the actress is, do you?
Jesus, Margaret.
Do you?
Margaret.
Well, do you?
No, I don't know her name. I think she's a great actress, though. Very funny.
Well, Phil, don't take this as an opportunity now to ingratiate yourself with that lady.
I'm just saying she's funny, but whether I know what her name is, no, I don't. And you guys have made a point, so let's just move on. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
No, I don't either.
So that was a lot of fun. All right, Bob Green's going to join us now from Fraser Foods, located there in Buena Park, California. Fraser Foods, longtime sponsor on our program, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk with Bob. You know, Bob, he told me, do we have him?
Yeah, Mr. Green. You're a little bit late. You're just a little teeny bit late. Yeah, you're online now. Where are you at? Oh, sorry, Ted's.
Hi, fellas. Bob Green. Yeah, I was over at... I'm at Ted's of Beverly Hills right now. I was over at Hong Kong Charlie. Just saying hello to everybody after the game here.
All right. Now, you've been to the Ram game?
I was at the Ram game, yes.
The Seahawk game, right?
Yes.
All right. I want to ask you, because you had made a note, or a point, I should say, in one of the Orange County papers this week, that watching the Rams in Los Angeles is a sacrifice. This is a sacrifice that you're making, having to drive all the way from Anaheim.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we had season tickets for the Rams when they were in Orange County back in the 80s and 90s. And we had a lot of fun, and it was a fantastic time. And, you know, now they're in Los Angeles, and okay, we'll get in our cars and we'll drive all the way to L.A. and watch the Los Angeles Rams there at the Coliseum, understand. Not at the new stadium, not at a stadium that's got luxury boxes, but at the Coliseum.
Now, you were at the game today?
I was at the game. They won. It wasn't that great of a football game. It was 9-3. Probably one of the dullest things that I've, you know, frankly ever seen in my life, but... We watched the game, we gritted it out, we toughed it out, watched it. Thank God they won, and then we went out to the car.
Who are you there with?
I was there with Sandy. Why?
Oh, that's your girlfriend.
That's the girlfriend or a girlfriend?
All right, I'll say the girlfriend.
Wrong, it's a girlfriend. So, blew that one.
Well, who cares, Green? We're not interested in... You were at the game. Phil's trying to find out what happened this afternoon. You're there with a girlfriend.
I'm there with a girlfriend. Thank you.
All right, a girlfriend.
Right. And we had seats that were on the... They were way up near the press box on about the 10-yard line, so I wasn't impressed with them, but I got these seats for the season, and I will have them probably for the next few seasons, so I've got the good... You know, I've got the in for a luxury box, because that's what we want. and I'll settle for nothing less.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods is with us, talking about the Los Angeles Rams playing their first home game in many, many years. I think it was since 1994.
I believe it was. This was the Rams' first game in Los Angeles since 94. Now, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting, Phil, that the L.A. Press says that this game was their first game in Los Angeles since 1994, and yet, when the Rams played in Anaheim, they never gave them the respect of saying they were playing in Los Angeles. They were playing in Anaheim.
Well, you know, it's suburban Los Angeles.
All right, it's suburban Los Angeles. But everybody knows that suburban Los Angeles, in the mindset of the people that live here, is Los Angeles.
All right, I used to make that argument, too, but nobody wanted to listen to it.
Oh, well, they're listening now because the L.A. Times said, first game since 1994 in Los Angeles. So what was in 1994? They were in Anaheim. And the L.A. Times, the newspaper that one can argue ran them out of town on a rail, and now the L.A. Times embracing Anaheim, Orange County, as part of Los Angeles. My, how things have changed, how the mighty have fallen. Okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Isn't this where that Dickman kid goes, yay?
Yay!
Oh, big deal.
All right, so never mind. So you went out to the game today, and you watched the team win 9-3. It wasn't much of a game. But you did this almost as if you were gritting your teeth, as if...
There's no question that you're going to a Ram game, especially if you're from Anaheim or Orange County. You're going to the Ram game, and it's painful. It's punishment. But you want to make sure that that you've got a good position in line to get the big luxury box when the new stadium opens up. And you want to make sure that the Los Angeles Rams organization recognizes there's a few of us coming up from Anaheim, and you don't hear us bellyaching about it or crying about it.
What do you call it? What you're doing today?
What I'm doing today, and I'm glad you asked me, I'm not bellyaching or crying. I'm saying that I could be bellyaching or crying. And by the way, if I did bellyache and cry, it would be I'd have good reason, but I'm not doing that.
Bob, you mentioned feeling a little bit betrayed.
Yes, I saw the comment that you feel betrayed that they're in L.A. County. Did you hope that they were going to go back to Orange County?
Well, I had hoped that they would be a team remembering what had just happened to them in L.A. What had just happened to them in L.A. was this. They got run out of L.A. County on a rail by the L.A. Times and the cheap, skinflint politicos that run the city of Los Angeles. We all know who they are. We don't have to mention any names. But that one guy, you know, the city councilman.
All right, you don't want to mention any names.
You know, but you know, they got run out of L.A. Now they go down to Orange County, and they are embraced, loved, supported, given everything by Orange County. There was nothing that I remember. We used to bend over backwards for any Rams that came into Fraser Foods to go shopping, and a few of them did, and then that was the last we ever saw. It lasted about a half a season, even though we would bend over, literally bend over, as a way of just... sending the message home.
Yeah, I thought he used to do that, Mr. Andre.
You're kidding. I thought I read that, but I thought it was a joke.
What did you do?
When the Rams came into the store, my staff and I would bend over and then look back and smile and go, ha-ha, but, you know, this is how much we love you.
Well, no wonder they didn't come back.
What does that mean?
No wonder they didn't come back is exactly what it meant.
What?
Look at Green. They probably thought they were dealing with idiots. But I'll take that back. They probably thought they were dealing with mental deficients, people that had been let out of a nut house. I walk into a store and I see a guy bend over, show me his ass and go, hi. I tell you what, I turn right around on my heel, I wheel about, and head right back to my Cadillac.
Shit.
Robert Green, our special guest here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that was a very exclamatory comment.
What was?
Shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because the excuses these guys are giving me.
All right. Bob, you know, you're going to get your season tickets for the Rams when they move over to Inglewood. You've got three seasons, is my understanding.
Well, the new stadium's not going to be built and ready until 2019. Are you prepared to go through 3 years of hell driving up to L.A. for the games?
I am prepared to go through 3 years of hell driving up to L.A. all the way, parking the car, and then going in and sitting down and watching them in that very inadequate stadium because I'm looking forward to having luxury box seats, okay? Do any of you people know what it is to be in a luxury box?
Yeah, I was in a luxury box one time on Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I have been.
Well, what do you mean, yeah, you had? You guys went to one or two games. Anybody there?
I've been to a great many games.
All right, Margaret, I know you have, but anybody there ever been week in, week out?
I have.
When were you ever...
I had, with the Miami Dolphins, I had access to the luxury box there and with the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, okay, but you didn't buy those, did you?
No, I worked for the stations. I worked for WSB and WIOD, so I had weekly access to the box.
All right, well, okay, but you were there as an employee. You don't know what it is to sit in your own luxury box week in and week out and just simply extend your arm out to the side. Keep watching the game, and all you have to do is extend your hand out to the side, and a drink is put in it. And then you bring it to your lips. Then you extend your arm back, another drink. Do you know what that's like? Do you know how that can save a man's sanity after a week of living hell at work? Do you know how that can save a man from literally taking his own life?
Oh, come on, Bob.
No, I'm not. No, oh, come on, Bob, nothing. So I'm looking very much forward to it.
Well, there's only one problem.
There's only one problem with what?
There's only one problem with the stadium you're going to be going to in 2019.
What about it?
It's in Inglewood, California.
Well, what is that?
It means you got to keep driving up to L.A. In fact, you got to go up to L.A. into a predominantly African-American community. Uh-oh.
Never mind.
Boy, what a racist, man. You think think that matters to me?
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. We think it does matter to you.
Now, Spring, you know, you've often expressed your discomfort around black people.
I've never said I'm uncomfortable. Have I said I'm uncomfortable around you?
No, but you have said around black people.
Oh, you're dreaming. I have said... Where is the... Tell me again where the stadium is.
The stadium will be in Inglewood, California. It is an African-American community. By and large, there are many white citizens there as well, but by and large, African-American.
Well...
And why didn't you know that?
Why did I know what?
Why didn't you know where the stadium was?
I know where the stadium is. It's up in L.A. County. I didn't know specifically. Big deal. I knew where it was.
Yeah, by the way, the stadium's not going to be in L.A. City.
Well, we can give that one up. I think the L.A. Times finally got the message on that one.
That's what I said. It's not in L.A. City, which is, you know, the urban center, and I'd rather not be there. It's in I don't know, Inglewood is...
Inglewood's where the Lakers used to play at the Forum... Okay.
Oh, shit. I mean...
See, right there, man. That proves right there that your so-called discomfort with black people extends farther than that is racism.
Why are you saying it's racism?
As soon as we said Inglewood is where the Lakers played, we heard this, oh...
All right, okay. It was a knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to be very happy and very proud to go to L.A. to watch the Rams as long as I've got luxury box seats. And again, only luxury box seats will I allow myself because, and it's got nothing to do with black people, it's got nothing to do with anything, it has to do with the fact that the Rams have insulted the great many of us, forcing us to drive from Orange County, which is, okay, yes, white, and we got to go all the way up into where...
Yeah, where the black people live.
What?
Hey, man, watch that.
Well, you know, he didn't have to say that.
Well,
that's exactly what you're thinking, though.
You know, Dickman, for a guy that is, you know, a panelist on a radio show, you are very almost alien-like. You're almost as if you were hatched. So I...
Let's forget about Bud and talk about you. You're going to be coming to the Ram games in 2019 into Inglewood for your luxury box seats in a community that is African-American.
So? What difference does it make?
Because you said that Orange County is predominantly white.
No, it isn't. It's Hispanic.
You know what we mean.
Well, Phil, I heard what you did to Bozell, and now you're trying to do it to me, and you're not going to be successful. I'm not going to come on this program and, figuratively speaking, have you take the leftover so-called Donick from the Bozell segment and start giving it to me with it, just because it happens to be at your beck and call. It's not going to happen.
All right, Bob, great thought. Great having you on the show.
Something tells me that I didn't come off looking too good.
Robert Greene, thoughts?
I think that Orange County is not L.A. County. L.A. County is not Orange County.
And the Rams are back where they should have been all along. The Rams are back in Los Angeles. And whether it's, you know, L.A. City or whether it's Inglewood or whether it's some other suburb, it's where the L.A. Rams belong, you know. You just got to live with it, man.
That looks like people are going to have to suck on that one. Now, you had season tickets, Henry. What about you?
I haven't gotten season tickets because they don't have any season tickets to sell now at the Coliseum. I'm sure some will come available between now and 2019, I hope. Maybe not. If they don't, I don't care.
But yeah, I'm sure, yes, you do.
No, I don't. I don't care, man. I don't. Been there, done that, Jack.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, thank you, is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray.
See you guys tomorrow. Don't forget to subscribe. The Backstage Pass, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, is a subscription to a high-end professional podcast. In other words, we make our living doing this. We're pros. High-end, top shelf. Don Julio Bronco of the podcasts, you know.